finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. You can also join on the ESPN Houston app, which is available on your Apple or on your Android. Try not to speak with too much gusto, because every single time I do, it ends up aggravating the voice and we find ourselves in a tough situation. Other weird thing today has been a little nasal drip. That's been fun too. Everything's great. Everything's fine. And we got so much sports going on, so it's very easy to just talk about anything, especially the things I'm really passionate about, like baseball, which had its all-star game last night. And wouldn't you know it, the Midsummer Classic was a Midsummer Classic. It is very funny to me that if you go to the scoreboard on ESPN.com, final, American League 6, National League 6. Oh, so it was a tie and an American. I know that's not actually what went down, because there was a swing-off. Yes, a swing-off. A swing-off to wrap up a game that the National League was winning 6-0 in the sixth. The American League scored 4 in the seventh. They scored 2 in the ninth. They tied it up with 2 outs, down 1 on an infield single in the ninth. And in the most climactic way to finish a game possible, after Stephen Kwan scored Bobby Witt Jr. on an infield single, we went to a swing-off featuring people that no one has ever heard of. Are there any positives to take away from this? Dr. Dran 290 says, good thing they saved Josh Hader from pitching. You know, that is true. No Houston Astros were used or harmed in this All-Star game. But at the same time, what's the point of even watching if every single team has a player who makes it in? If you don't even get to see your favorite team have a player play. And on top of that, you know, with all the opt-outs, I mean, we were really scraping the bottom of the barrel as far as people who are actually playing in said All-Star game. I do wonder if they will continue this. It just feels that if you're having as many opt-outs as you are, and if guys are actually leaving the ballpark before the game is done and then flying home, it seems like they're probably going to get rid of this thing sooner rather than later. And it's a shame that you say that after a game that was actually good. The National League won the home run swing-off tiebreaker 4-3 to win this game. It's an anticlimactic finish. I get that they're doing something new. They're thinking this will capture people, but I don't know. The only thing I really thought about after the All-Star game and after the home run swing-off was that maybe it's time for us to fix the Home Run Derby, which I talked about on yesterday's show, and go back to having a Home Run Derby where guys had 10 swings. I guess it was 10 outs, 10 non-home runs, but can we go back to that? And that's my takeaway, and it once again goes back to the Home Run Derby. I'm not here to say, like, the All-Star game, I'm so bad about the way it is. I don't honestly care that much about it, but I think if you were watching it, it was a good game. I even got into it a little bit. And then it goes to a swing-off, which is just lame in my book. I think they could have done something different, like just do the regular season thing that they do, where in extra innings, you got a ghost runner on second base. Why not that? That's what's so strange about it. Why not just do that? I feel like it would have been pretty easy. From the 281, just give the awards to the players, let them have the week off. All-star games are dated and a joke. I don't think the fan necessarily believes that yet, because the numbers for these games generally still do pretty well, even for the Pro Bowl for some reason. NBA's All-Star game gets pretty good numbers. Like, people still watch it. I think what's clear is that in a world where money has become such a part of the sports landscape, I think a lot of players, and they'll mask it with, I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to risk myself getting injured in the All-Star game. I think there's just a lot of, I could potentially get hurt, so why should I play in this game? Why should I do this extra thing for free when I could theoretically take a couple of days off? And it's becoming more common across athletes. And like, I don't have an issue with it. I think if I were in their shoes, I would probably feel the same way. It just is a bit of a bummer. As someone who enjoyed the All-Star game as a kid. And this was a good game, but I just hate the way that they ended it. Home run swing off. It's called a derby, you know? From the 832, I could go without seeing an All-Star game in any of the big four sports ever again. Nothing but a cash grab. I'm probably with you there. I think I'm required to watch it for work. That's the problem. And this week is generally a rather slow week on the sports calendar. Sean Mapes, smart man that he is, chose to take the week off after Monday and after the Astros-Rangers series was done. So A.J. Russ is sitting in for him. I think that's a very unfortunate part of this, is that a lot of people are moving towards the, I don't care. It's not like it matters all that much. I just think about enjoying the game as a kid, even the game that tied, and being like, I mean, it used to matter more. At least it felt like that. From the 832, in a high level soccer game, a game that finishes tied and a team wins on penalties, the game shows that it finished as a tie. Talking about the scoreboard for ESPN showing that it was a tie game for the American League and the National League ultimately. That's fair. I think that they shouldn't have penalties, though. I think it should be like play sudden death in soccer specifically. But if not soccer, sudden death in soccer, golden goal, I guess is what they call it, then just keep on playing. Whether it's another 15 minutes or 15 minutes and then 15 minutes and then a shootout or something like that. But yeah, the draws, I think, are lame in sports. At least you didn't have a tie, but I thought this was a lame way to break it, considering the way that the game was going. It was actually a good game, you know? The only people watching these All-Star games are the non-valued demographics and the media. Well, I don't know. I'd imagine it's a little more than just the non-valued demographics. Clearly, they think that they can still make money off of this, so they televise it, and they have all the commercials that they had last night, which I'd imagine, in addition to all the guys who got subbed in and got subbed out, is part of the reason that this game took, you know, like 8 hours, whatever the hell it was. 8 hours, 4 hours,
you know, just far too long for my taste. It is the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. That's how you call. It's how you text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975, and also on the ESPN Houston app. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. You can also join on the app, iPhone, Android. It's a spiffy new app, everybody. Super spiffy. So, All-Star Game happened yesterday. I'm not going to yell and cry about the way that it ended, but I did think the way that it ended was disappointing. That's all. Does that mean that the sport needs a referendum on it? I'm sure there's someone out there that feels that strongly about it. I just think, all things considered, it was a pretty good game. A game I did not think that I would find myself invested in at all. And as soon as I got invested into it, here they are doing a home run showdown. Lame! That's all. And look, I don't like baseball. I just don't, especially this time of year. I see Todd the Show is saying every game is important from now until the end. Yeah, there's still like 80 of them. Jesus. I every single one of these, like, manufacturing the energy to act like any of these games matter. Like, I'm that guy, Milo's Hamilton on X, who honestly needs to get a life, but he's so passionate about the Astros. Like, I don't – I just can't this time of year, you know? I think we need more football, personally. Longer football season. 30-game football season. Let's be like the Premier League in soccer, where it's what, like 30 to 40 games? Come on. Tony the Handsome says we get college football next month. Yeah, but it's still technically like at the end of the month. So it's over a month away. It's too far. It's too far, man. So here I am, sick as a dog, talking about an All-Star game that I watched while I was watching multiple hit television shows, specifically Severance. I think I got through three to four episodes of Severance as the All-Star game was also airing, you know? So that's fun. Tony the Handsome says, I was just trying to be positive. I know, I'm trying to be positive too. I'll be honest, the way my throat is feeling right now is bringing me down, man. It's bringing me down. So what else is going on in sports? Ooh. People are talking about the WNBA. I guess Caitlin Clark nearly got into it with a referee last night. Wow. I don't know what the referee said. Clark made one of those faces, like pouty faces, and then started following him and was getting held back by a coach before walking back to the bench. She told the referee that he's rude and that he needs to grow up, and that whatever call was called against her was unbelievable. What's funny is everyone's talking about this and saying, like, yeah, Caitlin Clark, she could do no wrong, queen, that I'm seeing at least talking about this. But I haven't actually seen the call that led to her getting into a back and forth with the referee. So that's what WNBA discourse is. Awesome, man. What else is going on in the world of sports? Please give me something football. Please. Football gods, I appreciate you so much. I just need some football. Any football. Please. Oh, well, there's this. There's Bill Belichick and Bob Kraft in a beef. What's new? I guess per Bob Kraft, hiring Bill Belichick was a risky decision. And per Bill Belichick, resigning as head coach of the Jets after one day on a cocktail napkin and becoming the head coach of the Patriots was a risky decision. That's true. They were both risky decisions. I guess both are trying to say, like, well, mine was riskier. No, mine was riskiest. These are two older men. Does go to show you, I guess you never truly grow all the way up. You're always going to be a little bit of a toddler inside. So that's what else is going on in the world of sports, everybody. It's a riveting time. I want to go back to C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who the Houston Texans traded for this offseason. And this quote that I heard from him on the pivot with Ryan Clark. AJ, if we could play that again, that would be awesome. Essentially, Ryan Clark is setting him up, talking about, like, hey, man, like, there's a reputation that you have across the league. Why did the Eagles not like you, even though you had six interceptions last season and they won the Super Bowl with you as their safety?
It's because of the perception of you being a wild card or crazy or uncontrollable, whatever it is. But your play says Pro Bowl caliber, all pro caliber play. Why aren't you, after winning a championship, two times in Philadelphia, bro, six picks each of those years, why are you now a Houston Texan and not a Philadelphia Eagle?
Scared of a competitor.
You said they're scared of a competitor?
Yeah, simple as that.
What you mean?
You can't program a dog. Certain dogs, you can't say be a dog and then it's time to go out there.
You can't program a dog.
You can't program a dog.
No, you can't. You can't program a dog. Oh, that hurt my throat a lot. That hurt my throat a lot. Worth it. You can't program a dog. Dog's just going to dog. And he's going to fit in with the Houston Texans. Dog mentality. There's lots of dogs on the Texans. At some point, we should put together every single player on the Houston Texans who has said the word dog over the last couple of years. Because everyone said it. Everyone said it a lot. Everyone said it an alarming amount of times. Why no cats? Cats can be helpful. You know, jungle cats are killers. But everyone wants to talk about being a dog. Why doesn't he say, I'm a lion? Why doesn't he say I'm a tiger? Why doesn't he say he's a leopard? Leopard's really scary. It's always like a video that comes out of India, it seems like, once a month and somehow gets on my For You, where some like poor person's just getting carried off by a leopard in the middle of the street. Panther. Cheetah less so. Cheetahs are kind of wusses. Jaguar. No one wants to be a cat. Everyone wants to be a dog. There is a song in the Aristocrats called Everybody Wants to Be a Cat, and it does seem like people aren't taking that to heart. But C.J. Gardner-Johnson is a dog, and per C.J. Gardner-Johnson, the Philadelphia Eagles were scared of a competitor, which it sounds like a stretch. I mean, they won the Super Bowl. How could you be scared of a competitor, you know? How could you be? You could be annoyed with a competitor, especially when you've already won a title. You could be annoyed with some of the people that help you get to the place where you need to get to. You know, an example of this: you could, if you were the Celtics, you might have been annoyed with Marcus Smart. You might have been annoyed with him from time to time. Maybe you're annoyed with the Grant Williams. There's always some. Maybe you're annoyed with the Patrick Beverly. Maybe you're annoyed with some other players out there. There's always players to be annoyed with. Always. But, you know, I'm looking at this. CJ Carter-Johnson. Eagles traded me because they were afraid of my competitive approach. I don't know. I don't know about that. I like the story that he told, and we'll play this again, about a kerfuffle that took place in practice and his side of his story about when he got ejected in the game against the Commanders in December of last year. Here's more CJ Gardner-Johnson.
Look at the Washington Commanders game. I got kicked out. I was nowhere near the play. Nowhere near the play. Everybody was fed up with me. And I'm like, if you go back to that play, I celebrated with Reed Blankenship. And I'm getting cursed from head to toe on the sideline and looked at Vic even get on me. I'm like, what did I do? So, you know, people in the box, they call down and they're trying to figure out why am I getting kicked. They was trying to reverse the call because guys come off the sideline. Dude, if you watch that game, the game was already heavily. That's what sparked it. Then we had like a little scrum between at practice. Nothing. It's just offense versus defense. But who's the culprit of it? Me, I guess, because I guess we're competing. When you telling the period is live, you telling us not to compete during a live period, but it's a live period. We competing to get ready for a playoff game. All right, cool. Mm-hmm. It's like little antic things that, okay, so how you want to play football? You want me to be a leader and outspoken, but then you want me to sit back and just, I'm cool with taking the back seat.
It is weird that they seemingly did not like this mentality from CJ Gardner-Johnson. You need to have someone like this. You need to have a Rodney Harrison on your team. You need to have somebody who I think pushes boundaries at practice, because pushing boundaries of your teammates means that when boundaries get pushed in the middle of the game, you're not going to be off to the side essentially throwing a little pity party for yourself because the referees are out to get you, like a lot of Texans did in that game against the Chiefs. I felt a lot of Texans got out of it because they were so mad about all the calls that they thought they were getting hosed by. And okay, maybe they were getting hosed by those calls, but you can't let that affect you. You got to shake it off. You got to move on to the next play. You got to continue to be on the attack, blah, blah, blah. You know, all those cliche things that you hear from your coach, but that's true. You can't get affected by stuff like that. And I think it will be nice to have a guy like this in the locker room in addition to Azeez Al-Shaair to hopefully get the Texans a little further this coming season than they were last year. So that was a CJ Gardner-Johnson on the Pivot podcast. It's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Closer and closer to the start of the NFL season. Stick around.
We're ready for some football, baby. Dad,
hush. Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Holy crap, we're halfway there. Did you know that we, at this moment in time, right now, 1:31 p.m. Central Time, on July 16th, 2025, exactly 50 days away from the start of the NFL season? How about that? It's very exciting. My favorite number, 50, is 100% Mike Vrabel, New England Patriots legend, one of the best touchdown catchers amongst linebackers in NFL history. But the best is Mike Singletary from the 85 Bears, a.k.a. Samurai Mike. Less successful as a coach, but definitely memorable as a coach. He once dropped his pants in the midst of a game. A Houston man, for those who don't know. He played at Worthing High School before going to Baylor. Second round pick of the Bears. Played there from 1981 through 1992. And he was a coach in a variety of different locations from 2003 through 2016. I think he had a little stint in the UFL or XFL, whatever it was called, in 2019 as well. AAF. My bad. Who's the best 50 in Houston Texans history, you might be wondering. That's a great question. The best number 50 in Houston Texans history. Let's see. Could be Brian Braman, special teams demon. We hope that he's doing all right with a bout with cancer. He's had to, I think, sell a bunch of the cars he has to try and get treatment. Definitely the most memorable of all Houston Texans who have worn number 50. Some other ones I remember, Akeem Dent, who was a linebacker. Kendrick Green, not to be confused with Kenyon Green, who was an offensive lineman on spot duty in the 2023 season. What's going on around the National Football League? Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy. Bengals first-round pick Shamar Stewart is working out not with the Bengals. And not with another NFL team. And not at the Cleveland Cavaliers gym like he's LeBron James. He is reportedly working out with Texas A&M. Is he about to return to college? If he were to return to college, the Bengals would retain his rights. Shamar Stewart has reportedly been working with the Texas A&M football team this summer and could attempt to play at the school again if his Bengals contract isn't figured out, per the Cover 3 podcast. Stewart's been fully involved in Aggies workouts, per said podcast. A guy who has some good Texas A&M stuff in the past hit me. He's like, hey, Shamar might end up back there. He's been at College Station. He's been fully involved in workouts. He could try to come back and play again this season and go into the draft again next year. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. Cover 3 podcast host Bud Elliott. The Bengals have his rights for one more year. He would have to go to court as well to try and play for Texas A&M again. And, I mean, I think his big issue right now is he doesn't want to play for the Cincinnati Bengals. So he would have to sit out of football entirely this fall and re-enter the NFL draft next spring if he wants a chance to get out of Cincinnati. So maybe he will. But it is interesting that he is working out with Texas A&M. But don't get the Aggies' hopes up. Stewart's not coming back. He ain't. I don't think he'd want to go back to College Station, to be perfectly honest. I wouldn't either, even if it were between Cincinnati and College Station. No offense. No offense. It's not exactly the most happening area. Skyline Chili or the middle of nowhere? What do you pick?
I'd pick the Bullet, Paul.
No, you wouldn't. No, you got to pick one of the two. And I think I would take Cincinnati there, though it is on the border of Kentucky. And you do have to watch out for cannibals when you're near Kentucky. We touched on this yesterday. Sauce Gardner, towards the end of the show, Jets cornerback, signed a 4-year extension with the New York Jets. It's $120.4 million over 4 years. Gives him $31 million a year compared to Derek Stingley's $30 million a year. So the Texans made a better deal with Stingley than the Jets did with Gardner. And Gardner is coming off of a season where he didn't play so hot. And where he started to get a little bit annoying based off of all the amount of times that you have heard from him in various forms of media talking about how good he is. So, see how that pans out for the New York Jets. I'm not looking at that as something that's going to be very special or spectacular. Ooh, we got a hot take. Fluff season. Bengals wide receiver, Ja'Marr Chase. A lot of Bengals talk today. Someone will have a 2,000-yard receiving season in the next 3 years. Said Chase, the next 3 years, somebody has to do it if it's not me. Wow.
Last year, he led the league with 1,708 receiving yards. He said he thinks we're closer than people expect to the moment when a player crosses the 2,000-yard plateau. So he wants to do it. He thinks Justin Jefferson, another LSU guy and Vikings wide receiver, is the other player most likely to set the record. So we'll see how he does this coming season. Bengals play the Vikings week 3. Battle for 2,000 yards receiving? Could be. Could be. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. That's really it. That's all we got for football today. Another pretty slow day. You want to drift into talking about something else? From the 713, Paul, I just found out season 4 of The Morning Show on Apple TV is airing in September, and I'm excited. This is my random text of the day. Now back to your regularly scheduled program. Apple TV's got a lot of good shows. I've found this out as I've been dealing with whatever the hell it is that I'm dealing with over the last couple of days. Sorry, I just got a text about potential interview that I'm doing after the show. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. It has a lot of good shows I've found. Apple TV's got that studio show, which I very much enjoyed. It's got Severance. I haven't seen The Morning Show yet. I guess I'm going to have to check it out. Anyway, it is The Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join on the Twitch at ESPN 975. Ooh, there's more NFL news. My bad, guys. Didn't have this in the 10-minute drill. The NFL and Fanatics have a preliminary win in an antitrust lawsuit over online merchandise sales. Huh. The NFL supposedly illegally restricts the ability of certain distributors to buy NFL merchandise and resell it online. Wow. Man, a lot of riveting stuff going on in the world of sports today. And it's really going great for me as I try to speak English with my mouth hole, which is not doing so hot due to the strep throat. I really thought it was going to be a little bit better today. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube.
You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. All-Star Game was last night. Took a while, 4 hours. Ultimately ended up being a good game. The National League was up 6-0. American League rallied, tied it, sent it to what should have been extra innings, but instead of extra innings, now baseball is doing something called a swing-off, where three hitters per league get three swings to hit as many home runs as they possibly can, and the National League hit 4 to the American League's 3. The National League only had 2 of their hitters hit. The American League had all 3 go. So that's what's going on that front. If you're watching along on YouTube, you'll notice I'm at home dealing with, at this moment in time, to my knowledge, strep throat. Someone texted in giving me a little bit of a panic attack that apparently the new strain of COVID is going around work. The main symptom is a horrible sore throat like the worst you've had. Be safe, man. Well, that would suck if that's what's happening on top of this. Drinking water hurts.
eating liquidy foods hurts. I thought it would be better by now. It's not. I'm honestly, my status is definitely in question if I have to go out and about tomorrow. Because I don't want to get anyone sick if I'm going out there and I'm still dealing with this. I thought I was at the point now where I could potentially be around other human beings. Because I'm supposed, I at least have been told that the drugs I'm taking makes me non-spreader at this moment in time. But yeah, maybe it is what my sister thought it was when I first told her about it. This could be the new strain of COVID. So there you go. So what else is going on in the world of sports? It seems like everyone is going after Robert Griffin III. The most recent person to go after Robert Griffin III, and it's been a lot of people, for those who don't know, we talked about this last week. Griffin reshared a racist picture depicting her as a monkey on the cover of a video game, and he keeps on doubling down on the idea that Angel Reese hates Caitlin Clark, which I do subscribe to, but that's neither here nor there. The cartoon he reposted was stupid. That was stupid to repost it. There's no reason to do it. So I guess Shaquille O'Neal had this to say about it, and Shaquille O'Neal went to LSU, as did Angel Reese. RG3, tweet another monkey post about my girl Angel Reese, and I'm going to punch you in your effing face. It's enough. I don't usually do stuff like this, but just stop it, bro. You got your job. You got your podcast. Leave my Angel Reese alone. I'm the one calling her and telling her not to respond. Effing stop it. That's the last time. It's not real hate. If you look at what's going on around this real country, that's hate. This is sports. I'm not supposed to like you. It's a shame that all that stuff you did in your life, you're going to be remembered for your podcast. You're going to be remembered for your podcast. That should tell you that you're not that effing great. I don't want to be remembered for Shaq's big podcast. I do not. And apparently Shaq has told Angel Reese not to respond. Anyway, Shaq is, I think, just echoing what everyone else is saying about RG3 at this moment in time. Like, just shut up. And he's going to be a little more defensive of Angel Reese because he does seem to have an actual personal relationship with her. I do think in this place he was leaving her alone, but like reposting something that was a racist post about Angel Reese, like what was the point of that? And then like going off on a monologue or soliloquy or whatever we want to call it about how racism is bad. Yeah, everyone agrees, dude. Pretty much everyone that matters agrees. It's bad. You shouldn't do it. You should be polite and kind to your neighbors. You shouldn't be an a-hole to people that you barely know. So why did you repost that? So that you could say, like, yeah, I'm against racism. Good. You should be. Everyone should be. Everyone should be. It's bizarre. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 975. Ooh, big news in the Harry Potter universe. Emma Watson has been banned from driving for 6 months after being caught speeding. The 35-year-old British actress, activist, strong, powerful, independent woman was clocked driving her Audi at 38 miles per hour in a 30-mile-per-hour zone in Oxford, England. According to the news agency, she had 9 penalty points on her license before the speeding incidents occurred. And yesterday, a judge endorsed 3 further points on her license for the latest offenses, which triggered an automatic 6-month ban under UK law. What? For going 38 in a 30? Nine points on your license. Definitely not good. But is she getting pulled over for going essentially, what, 8 miles over the speed limit? Man, how the hell did England run the world at one point? How do you think England would handle Westheimer? Like, they couldn't. You got people going across four lanes of traffic at 60 miles per hour while doing fentanyl. I mean, it's ridiculous. I feel like Emma Watson needs to get some of the good lawyers of Houston on her side. Maybe, you know, Dick Law, or could be Tony Busby, Texas Hammer. This is absolutely ridiculous and preposterous. Man. I gotta say, this is one of many things happening in England right now that this is one of the things that's happening across the world, but specifically in England, where you're just wondering, like, wait a second, how the hell did this country ever exist? Why didn't we revolt against them earlier, like before the French and Indian War? What a soft country. They're cracking down on free speech. You can't say anything you want anymore. And on top of that, you go 8 miles per hour over the speed limit, even though you're part of Harry Potter, and you're just not even going to, you're going to get your license revoked. It'd be one thing if she was a Georgia football player, all of whom probably need their licenses revoked, right? Like, there's probably been another speeding incident today as they are at SEC Media Days. Kirby Smart's probably breathing a sigh of relief about the latest Georgia speeding incident. Man. It's a wild story. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call in to text him. Could talk about what's going on at Big 12 Media Day. Cougs, house, you know? Willie Fritz running the show now. Oh, yeah. Give me that sound effect, AJ Russ, back at Mission Control. Willie Fritz is excited that Connor Wigman is now no longer an Aggie. He's a Coug. And he thinks he'll be one of the best quarterbacks in the Big 12. Man, it's going to be tough for the Aggies if Wigman looks good. Right? I mean, this is a guy that seemed to be out of place in last year's offense, for sure, at Texas A&M, and that's why they moved on from him, essentially, in the middle of the year. I know there were injuries and crap like that, but I am curious to see if Wigman actually will be good. I've seen good film out of Connor Wigman in the past. I never thought he was bad. I just felt that offense that they were trying to run last year didn't make a lot of sense for him. They needed to have like a mobile quarterback, because it's Colin Klein running the show, right, as offensive coordinator now. And I think Klein's like, you got to do stuff the way I used to do, like a poor man's Tim Tebow. So I'm curious to see what Wigman will do. What else is going on in the Big 12? Big 12 Media Day is going on as well. Well, the preseason polls for the Big 12 are gone. Arizona State was 16 of 16 last year. Whoops. Brett Yormark, the commissioner of the Big 12, said it's going to be the deepest conference in college football. You kind of have to say that when you're the conference that no one really pays any attention to. ACC is in the same boat as the Big 12 these days. It really is all about the SEC and the Big 10. Deion Sanders said the winner of the Big 12 will probably have two losses. And thinks that Colorado has improved from last year despite losing one, Travis Hunter, and two, Shador Sanders. Great players, but a better team. And that there's a quarterback competition at Colorado between Liberty transfer Caden Salter and freshman Julian Lewis. Arizona State's Kenny Dillingham was asked about the outside noise surrounding his Sun Devils, especially given what they did last year. I mean, they took Texas to the absolute ropes in that college football playoff game. Expectations aren't real to us. Wow, okay. Mike Gundy, Oklahoma State, what's he saying at Big 12 Media Day? Well, 8 of 22 starter spots are up for grabs, including quarterback. They were 3-9 last year. They were such a disappointment, Oklahoma State, to fall as far as they did in just 1 year. Pretty crazy. Utah's Kyle Whittingham, he's maybe got a foot out the door, but he came back because of how poorly last year went. He said if they had won the conference title, he probably would have left. He would have retired. Jalen Daniels is supposedly healthy at Kansas. I'll believe it when I see it. Scott Frost is back at UCF, and he thinks the college football's decided in bank accounts. He also said he regretted taking the wrong job at Nebraska, which I guess he didn't really want to go to, even though he's a Nebraska alum after being awesome at Central Florida. You've also got Rich Rodriguez back at West Virginia after leaving for Michigan in 2007. And you got Chris Klieman, the head coach of Kansas State, on an opener against Iowa State in Dublin. I was a Northern Iowa fan growing up. I was never a fan of any Iowa schools. So now you know, everybody. You are caught up on the Big 12. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston and on Twitch at ESPN 975. AD from Deer Park, is he still on, AJ? All right, sorry. Yeah, sorry, AD. Didn't know you were holding that long. That's my bad for not taking a look at the phone. What's going on?
In the back. I'm out in the back anyway, man, sitting poolside and doing stuff. But, you know, I'm listening to the show the whole time, and it has been kind of slow in the sports world. But being that there's not a whole lot of boxing fans, you know, we don't talk a lot of boxing on the show and whatnot, but I'm a diehard fan, and we got Manny Pacquiao, man, coming up Saturday out of retirement looking to make history.
You know, is he really trying thing, to make history, right? Though? Is he really trying to make history at this point in time? I mean, how old is Manny Pacquiao now? Is he 50? I mean, he's 46 years old. No, so
he's 46.
Okay. But, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, I'm still mad that he never fought Floyd Mayweather in his prime, and that might be on Floyd. They might be on Pacquiao. But I'm past both of them.
Started on that, buddy. Don't even get me started. That's a whole other conversation. I feel the same way. But I'll tell you that. I feel the same way. But you know, to be honest too, man, as Pacquiao's my favorite fighter, even if Paul, like, even if they did fight at the time they should have, which is what, 4 or 5 years prior to when they fought in 2015, I really think, analytically speaking, Mayweather would have won anyway.
Oh.
You know, I kind of think he would. He's just – the guy's really good at what he does. He's a defensive wizard, and I just think, you know, there's just no other kind of style that he ever faced that just could not crack that code. And Pacquiao, as great as he is, man, I just – he's my favorite fighter, but I think if I was a betting man at that time –
yeah, I feel you. I mean, Floyd, he's very good at the sweet science, Floyd was. I mean, just blocking everything, essentially. He gets his tags in. And look, he fought the fight in a way where he was probably going to win just about every single fight. I do like the curveball, throwing a little boxing act at us, AD. Appreciate the phone call. I will not be watching this fight. I'm tired. There's too many old people fighting. I mean, it's cool to see Manny Pacquiao lace up the gloves again. It seemed like it would be cool to see Mike Tyson lace up the gloves again. And then we saw that. Boxing bums me out because, listen, I've never been a diehard boxing fan, but I've always enjoyed boxing compared to MMA. And listen, don't get mad at me, MMA hardos, okay? It's not like I don't enjoy the sport at all, but I've always preferred boxing because of the history attached to it. And now it seems like whenever we actually see a fight that gets a lot of people to watch, it's involving a Paul brother. And F that. Like, sorry. Even if they're good, even if they're technically sound, like, I don't like them. And if me not liking you is a reason that people are subscribing to actually watch these pay-per-view events, like, that's really an indictment on the sport. It bums me out where boxing has fallen. I mean, a lot of the great sports of yesteryear, boxing, horse racing, baseball, I mean, they've taken quite a beating. But boxing has really just moved in this direction of where it's essentially like a live-action version of Celebrity Deathmatch featuring the elderly. And it's a bummer. It really is. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Stick around.